So wonderful is the Word of God, and so wonderful is the kingdom of God. So wonderful is the people of God. There's truly no other people in all of the world like the people of God. There's certainly no other kingdom in all the world like the kingdom of God. I'd like to read just a little bit from the book of Colossians in the second chapter. And I'd like to read from beginning at the 8th verse. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Paul gives a warning here to all of us. And he says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as through living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. All right. Paul tells us here in the Word that we're free from the rudiments of the world. And why then, as though living in the world, should we be subject to the ordinances if we be free from them? You know, there is a wonderful thought here. He says, if ye be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He also tells us to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Now, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When your life appears, then we shall appear with him in glory. Now, I like that, don't you? When my life appears, or when your life appears, you might say, but Brother Pike, I have my life right now. Well, if you have your life right now, then that means that you don't have the life of God. But the Bible said, if any man save his life in this world, then that man will lose his life. But if any man lose his life in this world for my sake, that man shall save his life unto eternal life. So then, my life is not my own anymore. Paul said, it is not I that live, which means that I am dead. It is not I that lives. So then, I don't have my life anymore. My life is gone. I am dead because it is not I that live. But I now have the life of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells me that the life I now live in the body or in the flesh, I live it by the Son of God. So then it is not I that's living, but it is Christ that's living. And somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I'm seeing you today. I don't see Jesus. I see you, Brother Pike. But see, that's because you're blind. You're blind. You can't tell what you see. For the Bible teaches that I am bone of his bone, and I am flesh of his flesh. And if I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean I don't see you? What then am I seeing? You are seeing lying vanities, lying divinations. See, you're having strong delusions. You say, how can that be, Brother Pike? I see you with my eyes. I know that. But you're still having strong delusions. The Bible said, because you have not a love for the truth, God would send you strong delusions and let you believe a lie and be damned. Isn't that right? So then you are seeing strong delusions. When you look at me, then you don't see that. Isn't that right? If you are looking the right way. For the Bible said we are to know no man after the flesh, that is after the flesh that's been buried beneath the watery grave. We are to know no man after the flesh, but we are to know one another after the Spirit. Isn't that right? Therefore, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, the Bible says that you have done it unto me. In that day I will judge you accordingly. So then we can truthfully say that the tomb is now empty, the stone has been rolled away. We have come to a new era of life and a new day of life, a new thing in life, whereby we are no longer that which we was in the past. We are no longer that perishing body, that diminishing person, but we are the ever-increasing body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, when he appears, then our lives shall appear with him in glory. You know, when Jesus walked up on the mountain with Moses and Elijah, the Bible tells us that he appeared in glory. That was the life of Christ that appeared in glory. There the Jesus that was to be crucified walked up on the mountain with them, but that same Jesus that walked up on the mountain was changed into the glorious image of the Christ. Isn't that right? So then Paul tells us there is a terrestrial body, there is a celestial body, and we are sown in a natural, but we are raised in a spiritual. We are sown in a corruptible body, but we are raised in a spiritual quickening body that makes us a quickening spirit. They that are born to the Spirit, they are spirit. Jesus was born to the Spirit, therefore he was spirit. Isn't that right? He was resurrected from the dead as a quickening spirit. He came forth as a quickening spirit. But someone would say, but Brother Pike, did he not have flesh and bones? Didn't they say that he had flesh and bones when he said, fill of me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have? I say that that is true. But is it also true that the Bible said that we are sown in corruption, raised incorruptible? If the Bible is true, was Jesus sown in corruption and raised incorruptible? Therefore, do we say that the body that he brought out of the grave was a corruptible body or an incorruptible body? Can the scriptures be broken? So then we see, as I said the other night, that passing through the grave didn't add anything to Jesus. Isn't that right? Now that's a little bit baffling, but just let's analyze it for a few minutes as we did the other night. Did you know that Christ appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration? That same great Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. He appeared there in glory. I've been to Jerusalem. I've stood on that same Mount of Transfiguration where the Lord stood. There he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, was transfigured before their eyes, glistening white. There he stood with Moses and Elijah, and the Bible said that he appeared in glory. Hallelujah. Is that right? That same Jesus that appeared in glory walked down from the mountaintop, walked down to the valley, walked across the plains once again, carried the gospel. That same Jesus walked to Calvary. And they nailed the nails in his hands, they beat upon his back, and they plowed great furrows, the prophet tells us, in his flesh until the ribs shone back here. That same Jesus. Now you say, what are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm asking the question, how did they do that? How did they put nails into the hands of one that had been in glory? How did they take a body that had appeared with Moses and Elijah and put a crown of thorns upon his head? How was it that they were able to plow through the tissues of his back down to the rib cage? How did they do that? How? He had appeared in glory. He had been glistening white. They had seen the great Christ of heaven. The same Jesus that walked with them, isn't that right? How then was that done? By the same manner that is done today. This is why so often I say here when I'm ministering that we don't understand the great, wonderful thing that God hath done for humanity. We are not able to lay hold on the things that God hath done for his people. We are living far beneath the privilege that God hath given us. You say, but Brother Pike, we're still in the flesh. If you are in the flesh, then you cannot please God. I'm not in the flesh. The Bible teaches that we're not in the flesh, we're in the spirit. I'm not in the flesh, I'm in the spirit. The Bible said we're not in the flesh, but they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Maybe you are still in the flesh, but I'm not in the flesh, I'm in the spirit. I died to the flesh. I died. They buried me in a watery grave in the name of the Lord. And the man that came forth was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the life I now live in my flesh and in my body, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. Not I that live it, but Christ that liveth within me. So then again we say, the tomb is now empty and the stone is rolled away. For he said, in that day, I will take out the heart of stone. I will place within you a heart of flesh. And I will write my laws upon the table of your heart. Isn't that right? Did you know that when Moses stood up on the mountain, he got a commandment from God, but it was engraved in tablets of stone. And when God spoke of Israel, he spoke of Israel as those that have the heart of stone. Those that have the tablet of stone. But he said, Israel, I'll bring you out of the grave. I'll roll the stone away. That's what he did when Jesus got up out of the grave. That's what Easter is all about. God rolled the stone away. He took the stone away for Israel. And someday Israel will recognize that the stone is rolled away. You know, when Jesus came up out of the tomb, the people blinded Israel and all the rest. They were blinded in part. There was no resurrection, so far as Israel is concerned. There was no resurrection. You say, but Brother Pike, they knew that the tomb was empty. But you know, it was commonly reported that somebody had stole the body away because they had paid men to start this rumor. So then they don't know that there's a resurrection. They don't know that the stone truly has been rolled away by the angel. But someday the stony heart of mankind, someday the stony heart of Israel will be taken away. And God will give them the heart of flesh and write his laws upon the table of their heart. He will place within them a new spirit and write upon the table of their heart the laws, the commandments of God. For Paul said, the love of God constraineth me. It causes me to walk in the love of God. It causes me to walk in the ordinances of God. I have an inner constraint. I don't have to will myself to go to church. I don't have to will myself to do the things that I see many people willing themselves to do. I don't have to do that. Paul speaks of will worship. He speaks of a voluntary humility here. A thing he calls of seeing angels, where people say that they're spiritual. He said, but there's really nothing to that. It is a will worship. I don't have to get into a will worship. I don't have to get into a make-believe. I have on the inside of me a great spiritual unction that comes forth like a river of life on the inside of me. And the water is constantly overflowing its banks, coming out. I am always enjoying and drinking of the fountain that's open in the house of David, for the stone has been rolled away. The grave clothes hath been laid aside. When Jesus got up out of the tomb, the women ran to the tomb, only to find that the grave clothes had been laid aside. You know, the soul body in the natural is nothing more than grave clothes. It's just that very thing in which the inner man dwells, the grave clothes that they'll use to put in a little box called a casket to lower it down into the ground. Isn't that right? But, you know, the butterfly comes out of the cocoon. When it gets heavenly, it comes out of the cocoon. As long as it's in its worm stages, it crawls around, you know, just like a worm, because it is a worm. Whereas the Lord used the term, I will help thee, thy worm Jacob. The Bible speaks of hell, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. It don't say anything about the butterflies. It says the worms, isn't that right? It doesn't say anything about the butterflies being there. When they go through their metamorphosis stages, then they come out the butterfly. But he said, hail where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Therefore, we who have come out of the cocoon stages, We that have broke loose from the grave clothes, the stone has been rolled away, the tomb is empty, the grave clothes is laid aside, and we are now a beautiful heavenly creature. Brother Taylor sang the song, "The Veil Rent in Two," our beautiful Christ of beauty, our lovely Christ of beauty, that ascension of those heavenly butterflies, those beautiful things. I remember when I was a little boy, I'd run around after butterflies. I thought they were the prettiest thing. Seemed to me like it was just bunches of them back in those days. A lot of beautiful butterflies, and I had the biggest time. You know, but I never knew then what God had made a little butterfly to represent. I never knew then what God had made a little worm to represent. I never knew their mission in life. You know, everything has got a mission in life, isn't it right? So then today, I understand the great wonderfulness of the mission of the butterfly. Hallelujah. So then, leaving the cocoon stages, where are we today? The stone has been rolled away. Christ is alive today. Alive, resurrected from the dead in our midst this morning. The Christ of glory, He's in my heart. I'm not relative to death anymore. Death doesn't have any power over me anymore. You know, we make the sad mistake of feeling that we have to go by the way of the grave to be able to get glorified. I've said this a lot of times. Going by the way of the grave doesn't add anything to a saint of God. Going by the way of the grave, if you would say anything, would take something from a saint of God, whereas it really can't because he's sealed in. But if you want to look at it like that, see, going by the way of the grave cannot do anything for a saint of God. Whatever you are in God, you are in God, that very thing, without ever having to die. Isn't that right? So then what part does death play in it? The Bible teaches that God hath no pleasure in death. If God hath pleasure in death, why didn't he leave Jesus in the grave? Why did he resurrect Jesus? Why did he resurrect Lazarus? What was the? Why did God resurrect people if he hath pleasure in death? God hath no pleasure in death. Death is not God's friend. Death is God's enemy. God hath no pleasure in death. God hath pleasure in life. I am the Prince of Life, Jesus said. I've come that you might have life. That's my mission. I didn't come that men might die. I come to die for men that men might live, not die. I am the Prince of Life. I am the Prince of Peace. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, "The thief cometh but to rob and to steal and to kill and destroy." It's Satan's mission in the world to take away your life and your health, your prosperity and your blessings. Isn't that right? Not God. God doesn't do that. That's Satan's mission in the world today. What does God want from me? God wants the very best for me. God wants the very best for me. You know, when you can get to the place to where you believe that God wants you healed, did you know the greatest part of your battle in believing is over? Did you know that? When you get to the place to where you genuinely believe that God wants you to prosper and be blessed, the greatest part of your battle is over. Isn't that right? A lot of times we say, "Oh, I know God loves me. I know God wants me to be healed." But friend, let me tell you something. Really, truly, deep down inside, the stone hasn't been rolled away. Isn't that right? Deep down inside, you've not really got over that hump. For as far as really believing, really truly believing that God wants you healed, there's something down in there that keeps making you think that maybe not now, maybe some other time, and maybe someday he'll have mercy, and maybe it's just your lot to be like this, and maybe you've been so bad, you know, you just can't get your healing. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." But when you finally, thoroughly convince yourself that God is loving and kind, and that God did die for your sins, and that God does want you healthy and happy, and God has rolled away the stone, when you convince yourself that God wants you well and healthy, then what can keep you from being well and healthy? After all, if you begin to think like that and believe like that, isn't that faith in God? Doesn't that get the job done? For who can withstand the will of God if you believe that to be the will of God? So then you see how easily Satan can trick us. How easily Satan can blind us. Oh, but I tell you, when you come into this wonderful land of the promise, when you come into the wonderful things of God, and you realize that there really is a God, that He really is resurrected from the dead, and that God wants you to be happy, healthy, and prosper above all things, then you find real living. That's what resurrection from the dead is. All right, so then I'm willing to give up anything for God. I'm willing to lay aside anything for God. I'm willing to be stripped down of everything that I could have in life for God. But friend, God only wants me to be willing, because God wants to give me that plus, because everything is mine. All He wants me to do is to be willing, genuinely willing, to give that up, that He might eradicate from my fleshly being the satanic powers. Satan loves the things of this world. And as long as Satan is in your flesh, whereas Paul said, in the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. As long as Satan is in your flesh, then there is a power of opposition. There is the love of the world. There is something that is coming against God and God's way of life, and is hindering the working of the Spirit to bring eternal life into your heart. There is a middle wall of partition. Therefore, we are of the circumcised, not the uncircumcised. For what did Calvary do for you and I? The old was taken away and the new is now here. The body of sin was taken away and the great inner Christ was unveiled, that we might be partakers of the divine liberties of the sons of God. Where then are we today? I say again that death can do nothing for a saint of God. Did death do anything for Jesus? Did death do anything for Him? Was He actually sown a corruptible being? Was there any corruption in Him to begin with? Jesus had already passed over the boundaries of worlds, isn't that right? The Bible said He suffered not His Holy One to see corruption. He was pure. The Bible said it was not possible that death should take hold of Him and hold Him. There was no way that death could hold Him. You know why death could not hold Him? Because there was no sin in His life. Did you know for death to hold you, there's got to be sin in your life? Did you know that death has to have an outlet? Isn't that right? If I go out of this building, I got to have a door to go through. If death has a part in your life, there's got to be sin. Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh, he hath no part in me." You've got to give a place in your life to sin, whereas the Bible said that we shouldn't give place to the devil. But you've got to give Satan a place in your life. You've got to sin somewhere or do something somewhere that will let Satan into your life if death has a hold of you. So then when we think about it, we are free from death. Jesus was free from death. Death could not hold Him because there was no sin. Where there is no sin, there is no death. Isn't that right? Are we then under the law? Are we under the law today? Or are we under grace? Am I under the law today? Doesn't death come by the law? How can death come by the law? Because sin comes by the law. Doesn't sin get its strength from the law? Where there is no law, Paul said, there is no transgression. Where there is no transgression, there is no sin. Hallelujah. Where there is no sin, there is no death. Therefore, being free from the law, I have no death. We have no sin. God has freed us from the sins and evil of this day and of this age. I am on this side of Calvary. Can death do anything for a Christian? What can death do for a Christian? Could death add anything to Jesus' life? Didn't He walk into glory before He ever went by the way of the grave? What good then could death do? Going by the way of the grave, did that make Him a spiritual man? Did that open the doors to heaven to Him? Did that give Him access to heaven? Does a man have to die before he can enter into heaven? If so, then how did Enoch get in? If a man has to die, how did Elijah get in? How is that these things took place? If that's the way into the glory world, how then did Jesus get in? You say, but why did Jesus die, Brother Pike? For your sins and my sins. He had already found the road to glory. He had already found the door to glory. He had already entered into the celestial world. There was no need for Jesus to die. Isn't that right? There was no need for him to die. Why, he could have walked off and left them anytime. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't think he could have just ascended up to heaven until after he died. He couldn't, in that he came for that purpose. But, beloved friend, had he not come for that purpose in the world, he could have ascended up anytime he wanted to. When Enoch ascended up, didn't he? Didn't Enoch just go away in a whirlwind? Didn't Elijah go right on up? You think they're better than the Lord Jesus Christ? See, you say, well, that was some special thing. Paul said it was by faith that it happened to Enoch. Isn't that right? How then did it happen to Enoch? Because he was not under the law. Are you listening? He was not under the law. That's how it happened to Enoch. Are you listening? Today, we are not under the law. We are not under the law. Enoch was free from the law. Therefore, Father Abraham's day was also a day of faith. Enoch discovered that he could be translated by faith. Paul said he was translated by faith. Then where are we today? The Bible teaches that God hath right now, not the great hereafter, but the wonderful right now. God hath right now translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God, and we stand here today in the kingdom of God. This is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, no man has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man which came down from heaven. He said, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. So then, did it do anything for Jesus going by the way of the grave? Did he obtain unto anything that he didn't already have? Only one thing, and that was fulfilling the commandment and desire of the Father. It was all for your sake and mine. See, it was for your sake and mine. Didn't he have the joy with the Father before the world ever was? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, he had to be crucified to get that great joy. Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joy that I had with thee before the world ever was. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Could God be any greater? Wasn't that God himself? Wasn't that Jehovah tabernacling in a human body called the Son of God? Could he be any greater? Could he be any greater? Could he? When God created, when God made the stars, when God made the ocean, when God made us, did that make God any greater? No. God has always been the great, mighty God. It was just putting on exhibit his greatness. It was just revealing God's greatness. God could never be any greater. He is the great of all greats. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So then we see that he is our God. He is our God today. He is our God. He went by the way of the grave to be the head of humanity. He died because of sin. Why did he die? So that I would not have to die. So that I don't have to go by the way of the grave. You say, but Brother Pike, you'll go by the way of the grave and I'll go by the way of the grave. Maybe so, but we don't have to go by the way of the grave. That's the glorious part of it. You don't have to go by the way of the grave. God doesn't want you to go by the way of the grave. It's not God's plan. It's not God's desire. God hath no pleasure in death. No pleasure in death. I pass from death unto life. I've come over the barriers of death. When they buried me in the watery grave, that was the end of death. I died one time to sin, but I am alive to God forevermore. Does sin, does the law have any power over a dead man? It hath no power over a dead man. Can the law make a dead man out in the grave do anything? Does it then have any power whatsoever over a dead man? It hath no power over a dead man. Therefore, I am free from the law because of the body of Jesus Christ. Reckon yourselves then indeed to be dead by the body of Jesus unto sin, under the law, but alive by the resurrection of Christ in the presence of God, that it's not you living, but Christ that's living on the inside of you today. I believe with all of my heart that I pass from death unto life. The Bible teaches we shall never come into condemnation. We shall never come into condemnation because we have passed from death unto life. Why should I come into condemnation? Why then should I be judged? I'll never come into the judgment. You'll never come into the judgment. How then can God judge that which is passed from death unto life? How can you then be judged? Whereas the Bible teaches that no man can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Isn't that right? If there's no man that can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, how then can God judge us? For there is nothing against us. For we are without fault before the throne. We are blameless before the throne. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, these are without fault before the throne of God. You say, but how could that be, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said we find no fault in this just man. And we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And today we are that just man. We are that just man. One with him. As he said, I am one with my Father, so are we one with that just man. Father, make these one even as we are one. And so today, then who are we? We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The tomb is now empty. The stone hath been rolled away. Today, it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth from within me. And it is the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. It is not I that speaketh, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh unto you. Therefore, what must we do? Rejoice forevermore. Hallelujah. Rejoice forevermore. How can we do anything but rejoice? Knowing that the stone is rolled away and the heart of stone is gone. You know, the Bible teaches that nothing can be quickened unless it falls into the ground. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Something must fall into the ground and die that it be quickened. Isn't that right? Jesus fell into the ground to die that he might be quickened. Not for his sake, but for your sake. Isn't that right? So then we ourselves, you say, must fall into the ground and die that we might be quickened. But you're so wrong. That's why Jesus died. Beloved, when I went down in the water, the Bible said, be baptized in his name that you might receive the spirit of the quickening. For the promise of the quickening is unto you and unto your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall quicken. Isn't that right? And if you have not the quickening, which is his spirit, you're none of his. Isn't that right? So then, if the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall by his Spirit quicken your mortal body. So then, I was sown in weakness, raised in power. For the Bible said, after you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Sown in weakness, raised in power, sown corruptible, raised is the body of the incorruptible one, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, having passed from death unto life. Today, without condemnation. Today, without sin. Today, without spot. Today, without blemish. Because Christ loved me so much that he gave himself a ransom for me. You know, how could you do anything but be happy? How could you do anything but enter into his courts with thanksgiving, or his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise? How then can you allow sin and sickness and sufferings and all of these things to remain in your life, knowing that he died that you might be free from them? Why not then take hold of the blessings of God? Why not then be delivered from sin and sickness? Why not thank God and move in the Spirit and accept the Word of God to go into the promises of God and walk by faith in the promised land of God, as did Abraham, to have and to hold and to enjoy all the wonderful benefits of God? David said, oh, my soul, forget not all the benefits. All right. Let's look at it for just a few minutes longer and we'll let you go. First of all, did it do anything for Jesus going by the way of the grave? I ask you again, did it do anything at all for Jesus? You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? Did he obtain unto anything else? Was he not on the mountain in glory before his crucifixion? He did go into glory. After his death, what did he do more than he done before his death? After his death, he ascended up into glory. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Wasn't he already in glory before his death? Can you then have a glorified body and they drive nails into it? Can you then be glorified and beaten and they drive nails into your hands and cut your back open? Can you actually be resurrected from the dead? Can you eat of the honeycomb and fish? and say, fill of me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have? Can you actually do that and still be glorified? I say that you can. I say that you can. The church nor the world doesn't understand. They're not supposed to understand. You say, how then can you prove that by the Bible? Because the Bible said, for God hath justified, for God hath sanctified, God hath glorified. Therefore God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, God hath glorified them. He's coming back after a glorified church, a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. You say, but Brother Pike, if that be so, why is it that we don't win the redemption of the bodies you preach? That's a good question. Why is it that we don't? Enoch did. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You love the Lord? Elijah stepped on board the chariot and went away. You say, went away to where? To heaven. You say, well, what do you mean to heaven? To glory. Isn't that right? Oh, I'll live in glory by and by. Isn't that what we say? Oh, yes, I'll live in glory. Isn't that right? Where did Jesus go on the mountain? Where was Moses? Where was Elijah? Said he appeared in glory. Isn't that right? Where did he go to? He ascended up to heaven. He ascended up to glory. And where is heaven? Jesus said, the Son of Man who was in heaven. Didn't he? Didn't he say that? And somebody says, but where is glory, Brother Pike? Where is heaven? And Jesus said, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And here he stood talking to Nicodemus. Don't you know Nicodemus must have been a confused rabbi or leader or whatever he was? Don't you know he must have been a mixed up fella? There stood the Lord Jesus. So then we say, again, where are we going? Are we going anywhere that we haven't already been? Are we taking a trip to any place but what we're already there? Are we to be changed or to become anything but what we already are? Is it a matter then of transition according to human stride of life? Or is it according to faith in God by divine comprehension of the heights, the depths, the width, the length, as we translate, transformate, transfigure from glory to glory by faith to faith, amen, of understanding to understanding of the revealed knowledge or mind or word of God, of that which we are in Him, being complete in Him, of that which we are in Him, of that which we always was in Him before the world ever was, of that which we have obtained unto in Him. What are we? Where are we? What are we doing? How can one man, flesh and bones, stand and be in glory in this world? How can one man, flesh and bones, stand and say, I'm in heaven, and talk to another man, flesh and bones, and him not be in heaven? How can one man say, Father, open his eyes, and the mountain be full of fiery chariots and prancing horses and angelic beings everywhere, and the other man not see anything? For the Bible said, the God of this world hath blinded their eyes, lest they should see at any time and convert, and God should heal them. Then where are we? Are we waiting for the rapture to take place? As a brother said the other day, if we wait to see, won't it be too late? If I wait to see the rapture take place, won't that be too late? For if I see the rapture take place, won't that be too late in that I will have been left out of it? I must do something now. But you say, but Brother Pike, you can't. But the Bible said by faith Enoch was translated. You say, translated where? It had to be into glory. But you say, but Brother Pike, you can't do that. But the Bible said, for God hath translated me into his marvelous kingdom. That's right, into glory. Isn't that right? You say, but Brother Pike, if that was true, then you would be in heaven. Jesus said, the Son of Man who is in heaven, and I say, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, I say that the Bible teaches that we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Isn't that right? I say that the Bible tells us that we are not of this world, for God has chosen us out of this world. Isn't that right? Therefore, if I'm not of this world, then what am I of? If I am not here, where then am I? I must be somewhere. And I sure am enjoying wherever it's at. And I'm having the biggest time you ever seen in your life here where I'm at. You know what it is? I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. What it is, I've made a discovery. I've come to understand. I have found the fountain of life. When he said, come and see. Come and see. I found him. He said, come and see. Come and see. That's what we need to do. Open their eyes, Father, that they might see. The world isn't going to see it. We say, but Brother Pike, if all this is true, why isn't the world coming? Because the Bible said the world, the wicked shall not see when good cometh. God isn't going to let the world see that. God isn't going to let the world see and understand these things. If they did, then wouldn't they translate also? You say, but they're wicked. They're sinful. But wasn't you also wicked and sinful? Didn't God purify your heart by faith in his word? If they hear this and they believe on this, will they not also do the same thing? Therefore, knowing that they have no desire to that, God does not offer it to them. You understand what I'm saying? So then, it is a wonderful day, a wonderful time, a wonderful place. Not the great hereafter, the wonderful right now that I'm enjoying with God. That wonderful presence of God, that great exuberance, that state of ecstasy. That wonderful thing where I'm incorporated in him and he's incorporated in me. Me and my Father are one. You say, you can't say that, but I've already said that. See, it's already on record. Me and my Father are one. Father, make these one, even as we are one. We are one to do always the things I see my Father do. That is the secret that Jesus had. Always submitting. All right. I say again, did death do anything for Jesus? Going by the way of the grave. Going by the way of the grave, did it do anything at all for Jesus? It didn't do anything, beloved friend. And going by the way of the grave isn't going to do anything for you. Going by the way of the grave, you say, Brother Pike, I believe what you're preaching. It sounds real good to me. But you're leaving out one thing. We got to die before this can happen. Why do we have to die? Somebody tell me why. Somebody give me some scripture. Somebody show me why we have to die. You say, well, Brother Pike, it's appointed unto man once to die. The Bible said so. And after that, the judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, but not sons of God. Sons of God can't die. It's not appointed unto sons of God to die. When I was a man, I died, and they buried me in the watery grave. Reckon yourselves to be dead by the body of Jesus. He looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, loosed them that was appointed unto death. I was appointed unto death. That's what Calvary did. It loosed me. He took my place, beloved friend. So then, will dying do any good? If dying will do you any good, if dying will get you over into the other world, why is it that when Jesus called Lazarus back from the tomb, why was he the same Lazarus? Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, if it takes death to do that, why was Dorcas the same Dorcas when she was called back from the dead? Somebody said, well, she didn't really die. Well, then the Bible's a lie. If the Bible's a lie, we're a bunch of foolish folks. We need to dismiss and go home and get us a good dinner. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Folks, death don't do nothing for you. Death don't do a thing for you. Going by the way of the grave doesn't help you. Whatever you are by the grace of God through the faith of the Son of God. And what he's done for you. That's why Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all go to the grave nor sleep. But we're all going to make a change. The Bible said, and they were changed from faith to faith and glory to glory. From faith to faith. As they beheld the glory of God in the face of the Son of God, they were changed into his very image. For when he, our life, appears, then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, what a wonderful chance you've got. What a wonderful day you've got. What a wonderful understanding you've got. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity at this moment that you've got. Don't you love the Lord? Don't you love the Lord? Hallelujah. You say, what are you preaching, preacher? I'm preaching that death is behind. The tomb is now empty. The stone has been rolled away. And death don't have any part in me. All that's behind, that's water under the bridge, that's in the yesteryears. I'm a living creature now, not a time creature. Isn't that right? How do you know that you're not a time creature if you're born again? When you was born again, the old time creature died. You buried him. Isn't that right? Time was no more. Time was no more for you. You're not a time creature anymore. You say, but Brother Pike, what about the days of the Gentiles? I said yesterday, in the middle of the tribulation, when the man-child goes up having to do with Israel, when the red dragon comes out, that's the end of the days of the Gentiles in the middle of the tribulation. But according to Daniel's prophecy, the end of the days of the Gentiles, so far as being able to go in the rapture, is at the first of the tribulation, when the saints of God are translated out of here. Isn't that right? So then in the middle of the week, we hear, time shall be no more, the angel says. People who are time creatures, that's the end of them, the days of the Gentiles. And then it rings out, now is come power, for the kingdoms of this world are now the kingdoms of our God, not the kingdom of time creatures. You love Jesus? I believe it's getting late. We preached a sermon the other night, the day is at hand. The night is forspent and the day is at hand. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, the night is forspent? I mean that at last, in the evening time, great light has sprang up to them, unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. And that intellectual darkness is past now. You're coming out of it more and more. More and more, the night is forspent now, and the day is at hand. For in the evening time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. For what is light until the day star shine or spring forth within your heart? He that overcometh, I will give him the bright and morning star. I will give him the day star. I will give him that wonderful daylight. For he shall see and he shall understand and he shall be a child of the day, not children of the wrong thinking, not children of the night, but children of the day. You're not children of darkness, but children of light. Not that that day should come upon you unaware, for we know. The Bible teaches we know. We shall know when it's nigh at hand, even at the door. I believe it's here, don't you? All right, I want you to stand with me. There's so many more things that we'd like to say in the way of exhortation to you, to encourage you, to make you to understand. But be not forgetful hearers, as one that beholdeth himself in a mirror and goeth straightway goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man he is. But looking into the perfect laws of liberty, continue to look into that mirror. Continue to understand. Continue to hear. And the Bible said to give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest you let them slip. And not only that, but the Bible teaches to take heed how that you hear them, lest Satan, who is the prince of the powers of the air, the ruler that's over those particles, lest he twist it up in your hearing, in your understanding, lest he cause it to become distorted and you take it the wrong way and you misunderstand. Lay it to the line upon line, precept upon precept. Prove it and then hold fast to that which is good. You can do it. Prove it by the word of God. Try it by the word of God. If it don't fit on the word of God, reject it. But be sure that you thoroughly try it before you draw your opinion. The tomb is now empty. The stone has been rolled away. Christ is alive in my heart. Death has been conquered. It hath no part in me. It hath no part in me. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh. He hath no part in me. It hath no part in me because Christ is alive in my heart. Let's sing that little chorus again. Can we sing it? The tomb is now empty. The stone rolled away. For Christ is alive in my heart. For death has been conquered, me it hath no part. For Christ is alive in my heart. Sing it again. Oh, the tomb is now empty, the stone is rolled away. Christ is alive in my heart. For death has been conquered, in me it hath no part. For Christ is alive in my heart. Sing it one more time. Oh, the tomb is now empty and the stone rolled away. Christ is alive in my heart. For death has been conquered, me it hath no part. For Christ is alive in my heart. Isn't it a wonderful feeling to know that we're not telling a fairy tale, that this thing has really happened? Isn't it wonderful to know that we are eternal creatures, that we are alive from the dead forevermore, and we are eternal creatures and we can never die? Isn't that a wonderful thought? Oh, Brother Pike, if I could only believe that. Why can't you believe that? Do you believe God to be a liar? Do you not believe the record that God hath given of his dear son? Don't you believe that there came a man by the name of Christ Jesus into the earth and died for you and me, that we might not have to die? Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that Christ is risen from the tomb? Why then do we celebrate Easter? Why is it that we're here this morning discussing these things? Why have men for so many years talked about them? Why is it that it's caused such a great rumor around the world and amongst mankind? Why is it they're so carried away with it all over the world? You know why? Hundreds and millions have been to the Holy Land, and they've seen what we saw. The tomb is now empty, the stone rolled away. Christ is alive in my heart. For death has been conquered, in me it hath no power. For Christ is alive in my heart. Sing it one more time. Oh, the tomb is now empty,